Psalm 83 again tonight, please. Psalm 83. We're the same place we were at this morning. Psalm number 83. I haven't forgotten the book of Jude, and I haven't forgotten the book of Hosea. And so, don't think that I have. We'll probably be back in one of those maybe Wednesday night, maybe not, maybe this coming Sunday. I don't know. Just depends. All right, verse number 1 of Psalm 83. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. Now, that's all I'm going to read again tonight, same as I read this morning. Let's go to the Lord in a moment of prayer. And if you know how to pray, pray that God will help me tonight. I do want to help you and be a blessing to you. I know that discouragement is easy to come by these days. You don't have to go out looking for it. It'll find you. And I will try to help you if I can by the grace of God. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the privilege we've had to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the song service. Thank you for your divine presence and your people that are here. I do pray tonight for Brother Gray. Ask you, God, to be with him tomorrow as he faces this surgery and replaces, Lord, this peace in his heart. I pray that you'd give the physicians there, Lord, some great wisdom. As the pacemaker is placed in, I pray that everything will be fine. We ask you to give grace in the service tonight. Bless our hearts and meet with us in a special way. Lord, if there's anything we need, it's a visitation from the power, from the person of God, from the power of God. So I pray that you'll meet with us tonight and speak to our hearts as your dear children and give us great liberty. May you loosen the people's hearts and their minds tonight and help us to settle in on God. Help us to stay our minds upon Thee tonight that we might receive from the hand of the Lord great blessings and great mercies. Now save sinners and, Lord, revive your people and bless the preachers. I stand tonight with Holy Ghost power and unction and liberty, Father, and I'll thank you for doing what you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 3, is where I'm going to find my text from tonight, is where the psalmist here, Asaph, makes the statement. He said, They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden one. Notice that statement, or that little statement there. They have consulted against thy hidden ones. Here they're making war, and yet their counsel is against God's hidden ones. I want to preach a little while tonight. I've got the title here as God's hidden ones, but I'm sitting here thinking, I believe a more appropriate title might be for it, that He hideth my soul. We sang that old hymn, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. And I'm glad that when the enemy comes knocking, that God has got a hiding place for all of us.
Amen.
And He's got a cleft in the rock that God can hide us in.
Amen.
And he has here in this psalm hidden His people. I don't think the enemy know it. I don't think they realize it. But He has hidden His people from them.
Amen.
And protected them in doing so.
Amen.
Now let me read just a few things here. The nations mentioned, and I'll get to them later at a later date, in the verses below, had become confederate against Israel. Verse number 3 says that they had taken crafty counsel against God's people. I want to tell you that the devil's crowd, the devil is behind them, and he is a crafty person. He's very subtle, and I'm telling you that he will use crafty counsel against the people of God. Now notice what it says there. Notice what it says. I want to read it one more time. verse number 3 said they had taken crafty counsel against God's people. I wonder where they got that counsel. It didn't say that they come up with the counsel, but somebody else counseled them. And apparently the counsel came from the devil. Now I'm telling you, there is a crowd out there that the devil is behind that they want to take crafty counsel against God's people. And I'm referring basically to the nation of Israel. And they want to tear Israel down. They want to take Israel down. They want to cut it off from being a nation. But you know, the devil would like nothing else than to take you and I down.
Right.
He'd like to cut us down and rob us of our testimony, where we'd become ineffective in the service of God. It takes a long, long time to build a testimony, but it only takes a short while to lose it. I've known men, and you have too, you've heard of men, that have lost their testimony in 5 minutes in a motel room. And God help us that that not happen to us, that we never lose our testimony in any way. Now it goes on to say in verse 4, that they wanted to cut them off from being a nation. That sounds like the president of Iran. He said he'd like to cut them off and totally annihilate the nation of Israel and do away with them. May I say that Israel, down through the years, have always been a hated people.
Amen.
They've always been a hated people, and they have, in one sense of the matter, by the will of God. God said He would scatter them abroad, and that He did. And they have been a persecuted people down through the years and a hated people down through the years. And I'm going to tell you the reason why is because these nations and people know that they are the apple of God's eye. They realize that. I mean, Hitler persecuted them and put millions of them to death. And now the president of Iran is trying to say that the Holocaust was just a fairy tale, just a story. Well, I don't believe it is. I believe that every word of it is true. They killed the God's people and put them to death by millions. And I'm going to tell you, they'd do it again today if they thought they could. And if they ever get the chance, they will. And apparently these 10 nations thought that they had the greatest opportunity of their lifetime to annihilate the people of God and totally cut them off from being a nation. And it said in verse 5 that they had consulted together with one consent and were confederate against, notice this, God. They weren't just confederate against God's people, but they hated God likewise. You can't hate God's people and love God. You've got to love them both, or you've got to hate them both. And you and I say, people, we got to love God's people and we got to love God. The Bible said there that they were confederate against God. These are the reasons that Asaph pleads with God in verse number 1 to speak and not to keep silent and not to hold his peace for his people. Asaph had no confidence in self, but he did have great faith in the Lord. He had so much faith, he believed that while the battle was raging, that God would hide him in a place that was beyond the reach of the enemy. And in verse 3, Asaph says that they had consulted against God's hidden one. But Asaph here has got enough faith in God and is confident enough to believe that when the devil's crowd attacks us, that we have got a hiding place in God where the enemy cannot get to us. And that's very true. I'm glad that there is a hiding place. I'm glad you and I tonight have got a hiding place. Amen. There is a hiding place in the cleft of the rock. I don't intend on preaching on that tonight, but I'm glad that we're God's hidden one. In fact, the Bible said that our life, and I'll say this again in a minute, that our life is hid with Christ in God. Now, I want to just mention some places that God hides His people when the battle is raging on the outside. And you may not understand this, but I'm telling you, one of the greatest spiritual warfares is raging today that has ever been fought. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness, rulers of wickedness in dark places. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood, ladies and gentlemen. And there is a battle going on that's being fought spiritually that most people know nothing about. But when this battle began to rage, it was definitely pointed at the people of God. But Asaph had faith that God would hide him or take God's people and make them the hidden ones, to where while the enemy raged on the outside, that where the enemy could not get to them. And by the way, the battle is the Lord's anyway. Now I'm telling you, God will take up for us. It makes no difference to me whether our battle is big or small. We've got a God that will take up for us and fight our battles for us and bring us out, amen, on the top end of the stick. When Israel went to battle with Amalek, as long as Moses' hand was in the air, Israel prevailed in that battle. Now, I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, God is able to prevail in all of our battles also. I've said this verse so many times, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Somebody said, well, there's a song that said, we may lose a battle every now and then, but the victory of the war has already been won. Well, I don't know that we even have to lose a battle if we'll do it God's way. God will cause us to be victorious and triumphant. We're in every battle that we fight against the host of hell and against the devil. God will help us to overcome by hiding us and fighting our battles for us. Now, I will mention some places that God hides His people. I won't say, number one, God hides His people in a safe place. Thank God. I'm glad I've got a safe refuge, a safe hiding place that I can get to. Amen. Where the devil can't get in, where sin can't trouble me, where the enemy can't find me, and the devil don't even know where I'm at. The devil don't even know where I'm at. Somebody say amen right there. Let me mention somebody here that found a safe place, and his name was Noah. God hid Noah in an ark. The Bible said in Genesis 7:1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now, somebody said, preacher, what do you mean he hid him in the ark? There was getting ready to come upon this earth the wrath of God. There was coming on this earth something that people had never seen before. They never dreamed that it was going to do what Noah told them it was going to do. God told Noah that I'm going to cause it to rain, and I'm going to kill everything on the earth that had breath. And no doubt Noah began to preach that. There's the ark. There's the safety place. There's the safe place. Get aboard. But I'm telling you, that crowd would not listen to the warnings of Noah. But there came a day when the ark was finished, and God called Noah from the inside, said, come on into the ark, you and all your family. And I'm telling you, when the flood waters broke loose and the storms began to rage and the wrath of God came down upon those people, I'm telling you, while they lamented in their sin and died in their sorrow, now I'm not bragging about that, but Noah had found himself a hiding place in the ark of God, where it was safe and sound until it settled that day on Mount Ararat. And somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, what was he safe from? Well, very quickly, he was safe from the darkness. Somebody said, do you think it was dark? Have you ever seen it rain when it wasn't? Not a few times, maybe the sun shining. But most of the time yesterday when it was raining at our house, it certainly wasn't light outside. It was dark. Now, I'm telling you, when we were lost and without God, we were in darkness. But amen, and we were under the wrath of God. It's not that we were waiting to be experience the wrath of God. We were already abiding under the wrath of Almighty God. Oh, but bless that wonderful day When God opened up the riven side of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ark of our safety invited me to get in, and I got inside the ark and He closed the door. Amen. And I found a hiding place and a safe refuge from the wrath of God that was on the outside. And the darkness. Amen. He brought me out of darkness into the glorious light of Almighty God. I want to say number two. He was hidden from destruction. Boy, when the fountains of the deep broke up, the rain began to come down, the earth was destroyed, and every living creature was destroyed. Amen. But there in that hiding place, old Noah sat back in his easy chair, got him a glass of green tea. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Got him a good King James Bible, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, and sat back in safety while the storm was raging, while the dark clouds rolled in, and while destruction was on the outside. He was safe in the ark of God. I'm glad that he was hid, amen, from the darkness and the destruction that was on the outside. It could not get to him in the ark of safety. Now I want to say, if you're saved by the grace of God tonight, you have found a resting place in the ark of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the destruction and the darkness has no place in our life. We are God's hidden ones. And amen. He hideth our soul in Him tonight. Somebody say amen. Jesus, that ark's a type of Jesus. And you and I are hid in Christ. Amen. We're hid in Christ. Now I'm telling you that nothing can penetrate that ark, and nothing can penetrate Christ either. Amen. Darkness can't reach us. Destruction can't reach us. I'm going to tell you something else he was hidden from: death. Can you imagine the carnage of God's wrath that day? Can you imagine the death, the bodies that floated in the water, those unbelievers that floated in the water, that didn't believe the righteous preaching of Noah? Can you imagine the stench that came from their dead bodies? And when the water settled, the carnage of their dead bodies and the rottenness of their dead bodies. Amen. That's right. Dead bodies laying on the surface of the earth. I believe that's why God left them in that ark after dry ground came up. Was they stayed there until all that stench and that mess had departed from the earth. Now, you don't have to believe that if you don't want to. But I'm telling you, there was death on the outside of the ark, but there was life on the inside of the ark. Now, I'm telling you, there's death outside of Christ tonight. Amen. You're dead in trespasses and sins, but the wages of sin is death. But I'm glad there's life tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was dead in my sin till He passed by, and He cried, "Live!" And thank God I come alive in the Lord Jesus, and I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah to God. And because He lives, amen, I'm going to live also. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. So old Noah found a hiding place. He found a safe place. God hid him in a safe place.
Amen.
Safe from the storm that was raging outside. Literally safe from the wrath of God. You realize that that was the wrath of God that came upon the earth in that day. Now somebody said, "Preacher, how does that pertain to us?" There's coming a day when hellfire, when hell will open up its mouth to swallow up all the glory and the pomp of this world, and all ungodliness and unbelievers will be swallowed up into hell. That's right. And the Bible, I don't care what some of the modern theologians said, the Bible said their smoke ascended up forever and ever, and they will burn in hell forever and ever. I'm not proud of that. But I'm telling you, I am grateful that I have found the hiding place where the flames of hell cannot reach me. I am hid with Christ in God. Amen. I found a hiding place in Him tonight, and I am safe from the flames of hell. Somebody say amen. Amen. saved from the flames of hell. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That wrath's going to be repeated. He said the world would be and never be destroyed by water again, but he didn't say it wouldn't be destroyed again.
Right.
There's coming a day when this earth will melt with a fervent heat, friends.
Yes.
But that next verse said, but the word of God abideth forever.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm standing tonight on the word of God. I am a King James Bible believer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That Bible has proved out in my life.
Amen.
In every way, in every form, in every fashion. Everything it's ever told me has turned out to be right. Why should I doubt it now when it tells me that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain? I'm talking to some of you young people in here tonight that like to not pay no attention to the preaching. I'm telling you as a young person, you're going to heaven or hell one. You may not believe that, but I'm telling you, you will believe that 1 second after your soul has found a place in hell. You will believe that. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. That's right. And I'm not boasting, but I'm telling you in me, but I'm boasting in the grace of God.
Yeah.
I deserve to be in hell, as Hanley Milby said, with my neck broke. But oh, I'm glad that Sunday morning Jesus passed by my way. And he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And it was a strange thing. Nobody answered that call but me. Woo! Amen. But I'm glad, thank God, I answered that call and was saved by the marvelous grace of Almighty God and entered into the safety and shelter of the ark of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been living there in Him ever since.
Amen.
Somebody said, are you worried about hell? No, I ain't worried about hell. I don't want to see none of my loved ones go there. I don't want to see nobody go there.
Amen.
I'll be honest. I don't even want to see them Muslims go to hell.
That's right.
It's a horrible place. Why would I want anybody?
That's right.
Color, creed, nationality. Why would I want anybody to go to hell?
Amen.
I've read this book and I know how horrible it is.
Amen.
That rich man said, just send Lazarus, let him tip the tip of his tongue, the finger in water, and cool my parched tongue. Just one drop of water. There was a man in hell that all he wanted was a drop of water. And you're going to tell me it's not rough down there?
Amen.
And I do believe it's down.
Because yes,
right. It always speaks of heaven being up, and it talks about hell beneath.
Amen.
The wise can escape hell beneath, is what the psalmist said.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I thought you were going to preach on hidden ones. Well, I am. Talking about being hidden from the wrath of God.
Amen.
In a safe place in the ark. Hallelujah. I won't say secondly. He hides us not only in a safe place, but there's often times He hides us in a solitary place.
Amen.
He hides us. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. I thought about Elijah, hidden by the brook Cherith. God tells him in 1 Kings 17:3, said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Hide thyself. Go there and hide thyself, Elijah. Go there and hide thyself. You know what company had? Not one person. His company was a couple of ravens in the morning and a couple of ravens in the evening. It don't even say a fish swam by in that brook, ladies and gentlemen. He drank water out of it. It don't say anything about a fish going by. Don't even say he had a spider for a friend or a fly for a friend. I'm telling you, he was in a solitary place and God had him there. And I'll get to that reason in just a minute. But there's times that God hides us in a solitary place. Amen. Now, He hid him there. One reason was for provisions.
Amen.
There was a drought. There was a dearth on the earth. And he said, and he promised him that he had drank from the brook. And he said, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And it was during a drought. And those ravens brought bread and they brought flesh in the morning and in the evening. And they fed him and he drank from the water of the brook. Now, the land was dry. The land was dry. Their animals were dying because of lack of water. But I'm going to tell you something God showed me today. God knew where the water was at. And God knew where that what water was there, how long it would last. Amen. And God knows where the water's at for you and I. And I'm going to tell you, nobody wants to be in a solitary place, but if you ever learn anything from God, it'll be in a solitary place along with God, amen, without interruption from other people, where God can teach you God's holy way. For our problem today, we got to have a stupid television or the radio or something, a blooming and a blaring and a blatant all the time, and never want any quiet time whatsoever. But I'm telling you, he wasn't there a day or two. If I calculate right, he was there at least 18 months by himself in a solitary place there at the brook Cherith, drinking water out of that brook, and every morning, every evening, looking up waiting for them ravens to drop him a pork steak off of Ahab's table and a biscuit to go with it. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
He hid him there for provisions. God knew where he could feed Elijah.
That's right.
Now I'm telling you, God's got a place where he can feed you.
Amen.
Don't you ever worry about going hungry.
Amen.
Psalm said, I once was young, but now I'm old. Now I've yet to see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, God will take care of his own.
Amen.
When there was no food in the land and no water in the land, God said, hey, go hide thyself at the brook, Cherith, and I'm going to give you the water out of the brook, and you're going to drink, hallelujah, eat, hallelujah, flesh and bread morning and night from the ravens. But the Bible said there come a time when the brook dried up, and Elijah must have said, God, the brook's dry. He said, don't worry, I've commanded a widow woman down Zarephath. Head on down to Zarephath. And he got down there and found that little widow woman. And I think he probably lived there about 18 months. 18 is 36, right? No, he probably lived there a little longer than that, probably took a long. I believe they went without rain for 42 months, 3.5 years. I believe this is the type of the tribulation period. That's right.
Amen.
I believe it's the top of the tribulation period. He lived because he said they'll not be, Elijah prophesied and said they'll not be dew nor rain but my word these years. And there wasn't, buddy.
That's right.
It took his word before the rain came down one more time. Now I want to say secondly, not only did he hide him there for the provisions that God wanted to give him, but he was hidden there from persecution. Ahab was on his track, kind of like Saul was on David's track, and hid him in the cave of Adullam. Now I'm telling you, there are some times that God will, when we fall under persecution, that God will hide us in a solitary place from persecution. I'm going to tell you, persecution is not something that is easy to take. A lot of people don't know what I'm even talking about by persecution, but I'm telling you that real persecution, that means being pursued. Persecution means being pursued by somebody that hates you. And I'm telling you, Ahab hated Elijah. And God hid him there from the persecution that was to come. Saul hated David, but God hid him in the cave and kept provided for him there while he was hid there in the cave. Now I'm telling you, persecution is real. And I'm going to tell you something about this solitary place. It can be alone where there's nobody at, or it doesn't necessarily have to be where there's nobody at.
Right.
I really think that the first while I came here to Madisonville, I tried to get out and run with the other preachers. I'm not saying anything critical, but they didn't, none of them want nothing to do with me. They all thought I was a compromiser because I took this church. All of them. And I'm saying, I want to repeat with a capital A-W-L, all of them.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And I tried to go and found out I couldn't. And I come back here and it was a long time before I went anywhere besides Mexico from this place. In so many words, God hid me in a solitary place until the calamities were overpassed. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Amen. And while I was here, God fed me and took care of me. Amen. And protected me from the persecution that was leveled to me. And it was. You can believe that or not. Amen. Then I want to say that he was hidden there for a purpose. Now, come on now. Don't quit listening to me. I know we're running slow. I knew we wasn't a prayer room. But he hid him there for a purpose. There was coming a few days down the road, a few years down the road, when the prophets of Baal was going to gather on Mount Carmel. And Elijah had to get prepared for that purpose. He had to do battle with the prophets of Baal. Amen. He met Elijah, but met Ahab and told him to go get all the prophets of Baal and meet him on Mount Carmel. And Ahab done exactly that. They killed their sacrifice and jumped up and down on it and hooped and hollered and cut themselves. And Elijah said, "Where's your God at?" Right. Said, "Is he on vacation? Is he asleep? Where's he at?" Said, "Maybe he's resting. Where is your God?" And I'm going to tell you, the God that answered by fire was the God they was looking for. But the prophets of Baal had no fire. And I'm going to tell you, they got no fire today. They got no fire on them today either. You can mark that down. Somebody say amen right there. I'm telling you, I don't care if somebody hears me. I don't make a flip. I was listening to the roll-off program over there today. And what was going on, it made me almost puke. If Lester Roloff would have been here, he'd have turned, I guarantee he probably turned over in his grave listening to that mess. "Well, I'm glad to be here today. And I'm working in the jails. And I just got so monotone and absolutely saying nothing absolutely nothing. I couldn't take it. I couldn't tolerate it. Man, I couldn't stand it. I'm just telling you, I couldn't. I've got to be somewhere where there's a little bit of fire at.
Yeah,
I wouldn't sit under a preacher and all he done was got up there and talked. I want somebody that'll lift up their voice every now and then." Somebody said, "Oh, I wouldn't do that." That book said, "Lift up your voice like a trumpet." Hallelujah to God. We need some trumpet and preachers in the church today that'll lift up their voice and show the people their sins. Hallelujah to God. Now, I'm telling you, one of our sins is not finding that solitary place with God and hiding ourselves there with Him. Amen. Amen in that solitary place. Now, God hid him for a purpose of a confrontation with the prophets of Baal. And I want to say, when he prayed 63 words and the fire fell, he won the battle.
Amen.
God prepared Elijah to pray 63 words. He prepared him 42 months to pray 63 words.
Amen.
Of course, I'm sure he had to build a little courage up in him. Any man going out and facing 450 wouldn't be an easy task. But he did. And when that fire fell, Israel cried, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" And old Elijah said, "Get the prophets of Baal. Don't let one of them escape." And he took them down there to the brook and killed every one of them.
Amen.
He slew them. Now, we don't do that physically today. But I'm telling you, if there's prophets of Baal, and we know they are, and they're cults and false doctrine, they teach false doctrine and cults and lie to people and send souls to hell, it is our God-given responsibility to get enough God on us to refute that. And it's going to take getting in that solitary place along with God, amen, where we cannot be molested by the enemy, where we can be like Asaph said. Asaph said, "God, come to our help. We need you. We are your hidden ones. We're hid. Thank God our soul is hid with Christ in God. Come and do battle for your people." And he did. He did. Now I want to say number three here. He hides us in a secure place.
Amen.
I thought about a little old boy by the name of Moses that was born during a time when Pharaoh had put out a command that all male Jews was to be put to death. But the midwives was to throw them in the river. And of course, them midwives, God got on them and they couldn't do that. They lied to Pharaoh. They said, these Hebrew women are lively and quick. And said, the time we get to them, the baby's already born. Said we, and they're gone with the baby. But the Bible says that there was a man of of the house of Levi, and he took a wife of a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now somebody said, "Preacher, what was the?" I like this. You ain't gonna get it, but I like it. What was secure about hiding him in their house? That's where he was hid. They hid him for 3 months in their home.
Amen.
What was so secure about that home when Pharaoh put out the decree that all babies should be killed? I can't fully answer it, but I can say this to you and I tonight, and I might run on this. You won't get nothing out of it. And I'm telling you, there's times when God will hide us under the devil's nose. Woo-hoo! Amen. He'll hide us under the devil's snout, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. We'll be right there in his midst, and he still don't know where we're at. Why? Because God's hand is on it, and God has hidden us. And if God hides us, the devil will never find us. Somebody say amen right there. Now, here's another little thought. He hides us close to home. Amen to God. Amen. That house, we might say, was the Lord's house. He hides us close to home. Amen. I'm glad I'm hid tonight in the house of God. Thanks be unto God. Amen. Hallelujah. He'll hide us close to home. Somebody say amen right there. And by the way, the home ought to be a safe place. Daddy, you ought to make it safe. And if you ain't, God help you.
Amen.
I try to make mine safe. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, Susie's like the American Express card. I never leave home without it.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Well, you're just paranoid. You call me whatever you want to call me." Somebody told me, Brother Ricky just told me in there in the office a while ago, that some nut went in the nursing home and killed 6 people in the nursing home. Now what man in his right mind would want to kill 6 innocent people laying in the nursing home helpless? I'm telling you, don't need a trial. Take him out and string him up. Somebody said, "You're rough. You better believe it on something like that." I am. You know, may not like it if you don't, and don't bother me one bit. And I'm here to tell you there's some heinous crimes and sins going on today. I've never in my life seen anything like it. And our home, amen, better be a secure place.
Amen.
A place of rest where we can lay down in confidence and sleep at night. Amen. That's right. I laid down, heard on the read in the paper the other day where they said 3 prisoners had escaped. I don't know where they found them yet or not. From Branchville, up in Indiana. And they had been one time in Kentucky. Well, I checked the perimeter about 6 times. Y'all don't know what that means. Vietnam, you got a perimeter. That is, I checked the doors and the windows a few times. Made sure everything was secure and laid down. Got to thinking about them 3 men. Could not go to sleep. Couldn't sleep. Had them on my mind. Just kept turning and twisting. Finally, I went off to sleep. Well, some of you heard my story, and I'm not going to tell it, about the little incident in Vietnam where we had 3 prisoners. And all of a sudden, these 3 inmates become these 3 prisoners. And instead of me chasing them, they chasing me. I went up the stairs, down the stairs, around the walls, in and out, but them 3 fellows was hot on my trail, I'm telling you. And I run all night long. Amen. I run all night long from them. They had to drop on me for something. The tide was turned. I said, when I woke up, I said, "God, please don't let this come true." Amen. I'd hate something like that to come true, wouldn't you? I'm telling you, it's bad when you dream stuff like that. I could tell you the story, but I'm not going to, and especially not over there. I wouldn't do it over there for nothing in the world, and I don't like to talk about it much at all. Certain people do. But he was hidden there in the home, and he was hidden in a place of care.
Yes, sir.
The home ought to be a place of care. You know where that place of care was? Right, three months he was hid right in Mama's bosom. Oh, there's no greater place. I'm telling you, God will hide us in a secure place.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Where we can rest in peace for the security of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, little old Moses laid his head down in Mama's bosom, said, I think I'll take a nap. I know Pharaoh's hot on my trail, but I ain't worried a bit about it because God has hidden me in the home in a secure place. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm going to find some rest in Mama's bosom tonight. Amen. Find some care in Mama's bosom. That's right. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly. Now, I'm telling you, Tammy had that baby over at the house the other night, and Miss Hall had her. And I don't care. You could turn her upside down, jiggle her, throw her up in the air, hold her by the knees, and hold her by the ankles. I mean, you could pick her up by the ear, do anything. And it was, I said, Lord have mercy. And it went on for about an hour. I said, what's wrong there? Miss Hall said, she's cutting teeth. I said, praise God, give me a knife and I'll help you. Help her get them out. Amen. Anyway, Tammy went over and picked her up and laid her up in Mama's bosom. And she just got as quiet. She knows Mama.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, just like John laid his head in the bosom of Christ,
yes,
every Christian knows that bosom.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, there is safety.
Amen.
When God hides us in the home.
Amen.
Amen. In a secure place.
Amen.
And let us find a place in the bosom of Christ. By the way, we're out of His bosom. He came out of the bosom of the Father. We came out of His bosom. Why not find a place in His bosom as the safest place that a man can find? Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. How about ready to throw this glass of water on someone if you don't wake up? Hey, God, having hot flashes and everything else. Now, he was hidden in a place of comfort.
That's right.
Right in Mama's arms. Ain't a more comfortable place for a three-month-old baby than in Mama's arms.
Amen.
That's right. Now, you can lay him down on the sofa. You can lay him down on a bed that's got a feather tick on it, 16 inches thick. They can wake up in the middle of the night and they're not wet. They don't want a bottle. And they're laying there, Mah! You can give them a bottle. Mah! Mah! You can shake them, rock them. And I'm going to tell you what. You reach down and pick them up. They found a place of real comfort. Now I'm telling you, God's home is a place of real comfort. And I'm glad, thank God, as a newborn baby, He cradles us in His arms and shelters us in His arms, thank God. Amen. Yes, He does. Hallelujah. Now, I won't say that He was hidden in a place of commitment. The home ought to be a place of commitment. They was committed to hiding that boy, and they hid him for 3 months. And when they couldn't hide him any longer, Mama found the, guess what? A little ark. Not near as big as Noah's, but a little ark. And even pissed it with slime within and without. And walked down to the Nile River where the alligators was. And shoved that little ark out into the alligators. And lo, before an alligator could open its mouth, here come a daughter of Pharaoh. Said, well, there's one of the Hebrew children. Told her, maiden said, get that boy for me. And would you believe Moses' sister, it had to be Miriam, was there watching. And she come to Pharaoh's daughter and said, would you like for me to find a handmaid for her to take care of her and nourish her until she's weaned, until he's weaned to me? And Pharaoh's daughter said, well, that'd be a wonderful thing. And guess who got her right back? You guessed it, Mama.
Amen.
What commitment? I'm telling you, if you commit yourself to Christ, and take the measures that they took. They done all they could do, and when they couldn't do nothing else to protect that boy, they put him in the safest place that they knew. They done all they could do to protect his life, ladies and gentlemen. And just by the grace of God, along came Pharaoh's daughter, and he was given right back to his mama. Hallelujah to God. And guess where he went? Right back home. Amen. Right back in the bosom. Right back in the arms of mama all over again. Hallelujah. And stayed there until he was weaned. Amen. That's right. Now, I won't say, and I'm just about done. He hides us in a secret place. Psalm 91:9 said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, did I read that right? Seems like that. Huh? I want to make sure. Yeah. I'm looking for the secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. Now get this. Under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
Can somebody tell me what it takes to make a shadow? It takes something else. It takes light and it takes an object.
Amen.
When that light shines around both sides of that object, whatever's out in front of that object, there's a shadow there.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think I'm stretching things. That he had died under the shadow of the Almighty. That tells me that Christ is between us and every adversary.
Amen.
Amen. And we're abiding under His shadow. The shadow of the Almighty, hallelujah to God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that tells me that between us and our adversaries, even those 10 nations,
amen,
that Asaph had found a hiding place and Israel had found a hiding place under the shadow,
amen,
of the Almighty. Hallelujah to God. That ought to make a dead Baptist,
amen,
get happy.
Amen.
Amen. There's something about that shadow.
Amen.
Now, Psalm 57:1 says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee.
Amen.
Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Under the shadow of Thy wings.
Amen.
There's that shadow again, all over again. Now, at the shadow in Psalm 57, in the Psalm that I just read in 91, if that is in a secret place, then this shadow must also be in a secret place.
Amen.
With Christ. I'll come to that conclusion this afternoon over there. He said, until these calamities be overpassed, hide me under the shadow of Thy wings. Now, we know God didn't have wings. Neither did angels, by the way.
Amen.
Cherubims did. Seraphim. And I'm going to tell you something. Angels didn't have wings.
Amen.
Michael didn't have no wings. By the way, there ain't no Baptist got no wings either.
Amen.
And in other words, you're not angels. What he's talking about here is the ark and those, was it cherubims or seraphims? Seraphims, is that what it was? Cherubims, right, that's what I thought. They was both on each end of that, over that mercy seat, and their wings spread out over it. And he said, David said, beneath thy wings Hide me under thy, beneath thy wings till these calamities be overpassed. Get me on that mercy seat. Hide me in the blood just like they did down in Israel when the Passover lamb went by. That blood was applied on that mercy seat, and I'm telling you, David knew very well that the blood was there. And I'm going to tell you, friend, devil can't penetrate the blood. Somebody say amen right there. Thank God we're under the blood. Amen. Somebody said, my sins is under the blood. Yours might be. My sins are gone. I'm under the blood. Woo! Somebody say amen right there now. It wasn't the sins that was in the houses in Israel. It was the people. Their sins were gone. Hallelujah to God. The blood protected them. Now I'm saying the blood will protect you and I. There wasn't no sins in there. They were gone. I've heard people say, my sins are under the blood. Praise God, I'm under the blood. Me and sin don't get along too good together. It's not under there with me. And I said one time, the devil couldn't get to us, have to come through the blood. You'd be a saved devil. You know that ain't going to happen. Then I'm closing right here. I'm done. Psalm 23:4, and you've heard it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's another shadow. I will fear no evil. Here's why. In that shadow of death, there's got to be a secret place in that shadow of death. For he said, thou art with me.
Amen.
And that shadow is a shadow of death. It's not Christ. It's a shadow of death. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now I'm going to tell you something. We oughtn't to fear walking through that valley. Didn't say you'd be waiting on the other side. I've heard people say Jesus will be waiting on the other side of the river when I get there. No. No. He's going to walk through with you.
Amen.
That's what that verse says.
Amen.
Don't hear too many people preach that.
Right.
He's not standing on the other side beckoning you to come over. He's on this side of the bank to walk through with you. And when that shadow of death comes over you, take my word for it, Christ will be there.
Amen.
I've told you all this story, but I won't tell it again. Doc Sotler said one of his old deacons got sick, had to go to the hospital and said he was near to death. Doc Sotler said, you can believe whatever you want to believe. Makes no difference to me. And he said, I went to the hospital to visit him one night, and he was just nigh on death, and they had him out in a private room, and some of his family was there. And people down there, the older people, called Dr. Sotler Harold, just Harold. And Dr. Sotler said he walked in and said he called his brother by name. He said he looked at him and said, how are you tonight, Harold? He said, I'm fine, my brother. How are you? He said, I'm getting ready to cross over. He said, it won't be long. He said, the Lord's already told me that within a little while tonight, he said, I'll make the crossing tonight. And they had prayer together, and Doc Sotler stood there in fellowship with him a little while. He said, all at once, the man looked up, and he said, Harold, did you see that? And he said, see what? And he said, those angels. And he said, no, my brother, I don't see no angels. And he said, Harold, I see them right there in that corner, and they're over there. He said, they're in that corner. He said, they're all over the house. They're all in this room. They're everywhere. Then I see them. They're everywhere. Everywhere in here. Said, don't you see him? Dr. Sotler said, no, my brother, I don't see him. He was gone. But I'm going to tell you something. When he walked through that valley,
amen.
God walked right through it.
That's right.
Amen. And those angels were there.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. You may not believe this, but if the devil had the power to do it, when you died, he'd drag your body into hell if he could.
Right.
I heard one preacher say that when Jesus shed his blood and ascended back to heaven, that He sprinkled His blood all the way from the earth to the mercy seat. He said, when the rapture takes place, we're going right through it. That all the devils of hell be on the outside of it trying to get a hold of us. Said it'll be an impossibility.
Amen.
Because we're under the blood.
Yes.
Amen.
And you get somebody said, no, I don't believe it. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to. But I'm telling you that He is the Prince of the power of the air. And when we go up, He's going to try to stop. He will not stop fighting until He's thrown into hell.
Amen.
Guarantee you. The war is on. Are you a hidden one? Old Asaph had faith in God and confidence in the Lord. He had to because he said, thy hidden one. Said that they're confederate against us. But said, we're your little hidden ones. Hidden ones. That denotes just babies. I could say a lot more, but I won't. Let's stand together.